أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أفلا يتدبرون القرآن ولو كان من عند غير الله لوجدوا فيه اختلافا كثيرا بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سنريهم آياتنا في الآفاق وفي أنفسهم حتى يتبين لهم أنه الحق أولم يكفي بربك أنه على كل شيء شهيد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي Respected guest of honor, Mr. Rafiq Dada, the distinguished guests of honor, the learned scholars, the respected elders, and my dear brothers and sisters, I welcome all of you with the Islamic greetings. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. May peace, blessings, and mercy of Almighty Allah be on all of you. The topic of this morning's talk is the Quran God's word? Many people have a misconception that Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, was the founder of the religion of Islam. In fact, Islam is in existence since man first set foot on the earth. God Almighty has sent several revelations and messengers to this earth. All the previous prophets sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were meant only for their people and their nation, and the complete message was meant for a particular time period. That's the reason, that's the miracle they performed, like the parting of the sea, like raising the dead to alive, convinced the people of that time, but cannot be examined and verified by us today. Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, was the last and final messenger of God Almighty, sent to the whole of humanity, and his message is meant till eternity. The Quran mentions in Surah Al-Anbiya, chapter number 21, verse number 110, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, that we have sent not thee, but as a mercy to the whole humankind, as a mercy to all the worlds. Since Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, was the last and final messenger, and his message was everlasting, that's the reason the miracle given to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should also be everlasting and examinable by us at all the times. Though Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, performed several miracles which are mentioned in the hadith, that is the traditions, he never emphasized them. Though we Muslims believe in all these miracles, we only boast of the ultimate miracle given to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is the Holy Quran. Al-Quran is the miracle of all times. It proved itself to be a miracle 1400 years ago. It can be reconfirmed today and forever. In short, it's the miracle of miracles. Probably the only point common amongst the people, whether they be Muslims or non-Muslims, is that the Quran was recited the first time by a man born in the city of Mecca in Arabia in the 6th century by the name Muhammad, may peace be upon him. Regarding the source of the Holy Quran, there can be basically three different assumptions. The first is that the Holy Quran, its author is Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, himself, consciously, subconsciously, or unconsciously. The second assumption that can be is that Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, he obtained it from other human sources or from other religious scriptures. And the third is that the Holy Quran does not have a human author, but it is verbatim, the word or the revelation of God Almighty. Let us examine today all the three basic assumptions. The first being that Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, was the author himself, consciously, subconsciously, or unconsciously. It is highly abnormal to challenge the testimony of a person who disclaims the responsibility of any great work, whether it be literally, whether it be scientific or otherwise. But this is exactly what the Orientalists do, who doubt the origin of the Quran when they say that Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, was the author. The Prophet never ever claimed that he was the author of the Quran. In fact, he always said that it was a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To think otherwise is illogical and would mean that he was telling a lie, God forbid. History tells us that never has the Prophet been ever reported of telling a lie till prophethood, that is till the age of 40. And all the people acclaimed him as a person who was honest, who was noble, who was chaste. No wonder they gave him the title Al-Amin, the trustworthy, friends and foes alike. Even those people who said that he was a liar, God forbid, after he claimed prophethood, even then they kept their valuables with him for safekeeping. Then why should an honest person lie and say that the Quran is the word of God and that he was a prophet? Let's examine the claims made by these Orientalists. Some say that Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, he attributed the Quran and said he was a prophet for material gains, for worldly benefits. I do agree. There are several people who falsely claim to be prophets, saints, and preachers for wealth. And they acquire riches and lead a luxurious life. We have several throughout the world, especially in our country, India. Prophet Muhammad was financially better off before than after prophethood. He had married a rich businesswoman by the name of Khadija, may Allah be pleased with her, at the age of 25, 15 years before prophethood. And his life, after he claimed that he was a prophet, was unenviable. According to the collection of hadith by An-Nawwi in Riyadh al-Salihin, hadith 2, it says that Aisha, may Allah be, was the wife of beloved Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, said that there were times when 1 or 2 months would pass without having fire being lit in the house because they did not have any cooked food. They survived on water and dates and sometimes supplemented by the goat milk given by the people of Medina. This was not just a temporary phase, it was a way of life for the Prophet. According to Riyad al-Salihin, hadith number 465 and 466, Hazrat Bilal, may Allah be pleased with him, he said that whenever the Prophet received gifts and provisions for the future, he gave it to the poor and the needy and never kept it back for himself. Then why should you doubt that the Prophet told a lie, na'uz billah, for material gains? And there is a verse in the Quran which negates this theory. It is from Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter number 2, verse number 79, which says, فَوَيْلٌ لِلَّذِينَ يَكْتُبُونَ الْكِتَابَ بِأَيْدِهِمْ. Then woe to those who write the book with their own hands. ثُمَّ يَقُولُونَ هَذَا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. And then say, this is from Allah. لِيَشْتَرُوا بِهِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا. To traffic with it for a miserable price. فَوَيْلٌ لَهُمْ مِمَّا كَتَبَتْ أَيْدِهِمْ. Then woe to those for what their hands do write. فَوَيْلٌ لَهُمْ مِمَّا يَكْسِبُونَ. Then woe to those for what they earn. This verse is talking about the people who wrote the book with their own hands and said it's from God Almighty, or they changed the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There were every possibility that if Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, himself would have written the Quran and attributed it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in some point of his life he would have been exposed. Then he would be called as the biggest hypocrite and would be cursing himself in his own book. Some people say that Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, attributed the Quran to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and called himself a prophet for status, for power, for glory, for leadership. What are the qualities of a person who wants power, status, leadership and glory? He wears fancy clothes. He eats very good food. He lives in mansions, in monumental buildings. He has guards, etc. Our beloved Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, he milked his own goat. He mended his own clothes. He repaired his own shoes. He even many a times did the household work. He was an amazing model of simplicity and humbleness. He sat on the floor. He went to shop in the market without any guards. Even when the poor people used to invite him, he used to dine with them and eat graciously whatever was given to him. So much so that his detractors, it is mentioned in the Quran in Surah Tawbah, chapter number 9, verse number 61, said, "Oh, he listens to everybody. What kind of a person is this? He listens to every Tom, Dick and Harry." Once, when a representative of the pagan Arabs by the name of Utbah, he came to the Prophet and said, "If you give us this claim of prophethood, we will give you all the wealth in Arabia. We will make you the leader of Arabia and crown you the king. Only thing that we want is that you should give up this message that there is only one God." And the Prophet refused by the revelation of the Quran from Surah Fusilat, chapter number 41. There were several attempts made, once through his uncle Abu Talib, that you give up your message and we will make you the wealthiest man in Arabia. The Prophet said, "Oh my uncle, even if they put the sun in my right hand and the moon in my left, I will not give up this mission until I die." Why should a person lead a life of such suffering and sacrifices when he was triumphant even with his adversaries. And he was so humble and noble that at all the times of victory, he always said, "It is due to the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not my own genius." Some of these Orientalists, they come up with a new theory that the Prophet, he was suffering from mythomania, God forbid. Mythomania is a mental disorder in which a person tells a lie and he believes in it. So they said that Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, told a lie, na'uzubillah, and he believed in it. If a psychiatrist has to treat a mythomaniac, he will pose him with facts, because these people can't face facts. Suppose a person says, "I'm the king of England." The psychiatrist will not tell him that he's crazy, he's mad. He will say, "Okay, if you're the king of England, where's your queen?" He will say, "She's gone to my mother-in-law's place." "Where is your minister? He has died." "Where are the guards?" The moment you keep on posing facts, finally the mythomaniac will say, "I think I'm not the king of England." The Quran does the same. Quran poses the people with facts and questions. In fact, it is not Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, who was a mythomaniac. It is these people who are actually mythomaniacs, because they say that the Prophet lied and they believe in it. And Quran treats such people by posing facts, by posing questions. If you doubt, if you think that the Quran has been forged, do so and so thing. If you think that Quran is not from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what about this? It poses several questions which we will be dealing with, inshallah, during the course of the talk. Some have come up with a theory called the religious illusion theory, or the subconscious theory, in which the Prophet, they say, na'uzubillah, used to, from his subconscious mind, he derived the Quran unknowingly. And some of them said he was crazy, God forbid. Let's analyze their claim. A person, if is suffering from this disease, or if he's crazy, they fail to realize that the Quran was revealed during a course of time which was 23 years. The Quran was not revealed at one time. It was revealed over a period of 23 years, in stages, part by part. If this Quran, as they claim, is from a mind which is subconscious or a crazy mind, it could not have been so consistent. And neither can a person be under the false impression that he is the Prophet when everything is coming from his subconscious mind for a period of 23 years. There are several facts in the Quran which can disprove this. For example, Quran mentions about several historical events which no one at the time of the Prophet knew. There are several prophecies which are mentioned which have been fulfilled. There are several scientific facts which were unknown that time and has been confirmed today. It is impossible for these sort of facts to come out from a subconscious mind or a crazy mind. And the Quran testifies in Surah Araf, chapter number 7, verse number 184, "Do they not reflect that their companion is not one possessed with evil, but he is a perpetuous warner?" The Quran repeats in Surah Al-Qalam, chapter number 68, verse number 2, "Thou is not, by the grace of thy Lord, crazy or possessed. It is said in Surah Takwir, chapter number 81, verse number 22, your companion is not possessed and mad. So why should a person lie? It's not possible to discuss all the various theories put forward by them. If anyone has any new theory, they are most welcome to put it during question answer time, and inshallah, I'll try my level best to clarify it. The second assumption is that the Prophet copied it from other religious scriptures, or he got it from some human source. One historical fact is sufficient to prove this theory wrong. That is, our beloved Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, he was an illiterate. And Quran testifies in Surah Ankabut, chapter number 29, verse number 48, that thou was not able to recite any book before this book was revealed, nor was thou able to transcribe it before this. In that case, indeed, the talkers of vanities would have doubted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew that people would doubt the source of the Quran. That is the reason that in His divine wisdom, He chose His last and final messenger, Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, to be an ummi, an illiterate, an unlettered prophet. Otherwise, surely, the talkers of vanities, the babblers in the marketplace, would have something to say. And if the Prophet was literate, the critics, the cynics, would have had some weight to say that the Prophet copied it from somewhere else and rehashed it in a new form. Nauzu billah. But even this claim is denied. A point hardly big enough to hang a fly. And our Qari, Brother Ashraf Muhammadi, he recited the verse of the Quran from Surah Sajda, chapter number 32, verse number 1 to 3. Alif Lam Mim Tanzilul Kitab La Raib Fi Min Rabbil Alameen. Alif Lam Mim. This is the revelation of the book, without doubt, from the Lord of the worlds. Do they say He has forged it? Nay, it is the truth from thy Lord, so that thou may admonish a people to whom no warner was sent before, so that they may receive some guidance. The Quran is unlike any other religious scriptures, which has a typical human type of narration, like a storybook. How does a storybook begin? It begins with, once upon a time, foxes and grapes, wolf and the lamb. Similarly, if you read other scriptures, it says, in the beginning was God, He made the heavens and the earth. In the beginning was the Word. It may say, now it came to pass as though so it happened. The Quran does not have such human narrations. In the beginning was so and so. And if you read the other religious scriptures, they have a typical sequence of the human narration. It talks about a particular person, it talks about his family, about the children, and the sequence runs in order. Chapter 1, chapter 2, it's in order. Quran 2 speaks about people and the family life, but it speaks not in a particular sequence like the human story book. The Quran has its own unique style. It's a unique book. The people who cannot prove that Quran is a work of a human being, then they finally come up and say that the Quran is a deception. Na'udhu billah. If we ask them, where is the deception? They will not be able to point out a single deception in the whole Quran. People They believe in things for which they have got no proof or reason. And they fool themselves by sticking to it. For example, if I believe that this particular man, he is my enemy, for which I have got no proof, for which I have got no reason. But the moment that man comes in front of me, because of my false belief, people believe his enemy. He reacts and too behaves like my enemy, and then I satisfy myself. See, I was right. This man is my enemy because he's behaving like my enemy. If it had not been for my initial false belief, that man would have never behaved like my enemy. So people got proof and reason and fool themselves by sticking to it. Quran says that the revelation goes in parallel with reason. Some people say that holy scriptures, they are beyond reasoning. If they are beyond reasoning, then how can we decipher which of the holy scriptures are true and which are false? The Quran, in fact, encourages reasoning. It encourages discussion. Many Muslims feel that you should avoid religious discussions. You should avoid getting into a dialogue where religion is concerned, and they're sadly mistaken. The Quran says in Surah Nahl, chapter number 16, verse number 125, Ud'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikmah wal maw'izati al hasna wajadilhum billati hiya ahsan. That is, invite all to the way of thy Lord with wisdom and beautiful preaching, and argue with them and reason with them in the ways that are best and most gracious. Quran encourages discussion, encourages reasoning. No wonder the Arabic word qalu, which means they say, is mentioned 332 times. And the Arabic word qul, which means say, is also mentioned 332 times. This proves that the Quran encourages discussion. There is a theory known as exhausting the alternatives. The Quran says that this book, the Quran, it is a revelation from God Almighty. If it is not, then what is it? You give the other alternatives. Some may say, it's a handiwork of Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him. It has been disproved. Some may say he lied for material gains. Laus billah. That has been disproved. Whatever claims they have got, put forth and see whether they stand the test. This is the Quran. It's a book. It's paper and ink. Where did it come from? It requires an explanation. The Quran says it's from Allah. It's from God Almighty. If it's not, where did it come from? In Surah Jashia, chapter number 45, verse number 1 and 2, which says, Hameem, Tanzeelul Kitab, Min Allahi Azizul Hakim. Hameem, this is the revelation of the book from Allah, the exalted in power, full of wisdom. And Quran mentions in several places that this is a revelation from God Almighty. It's mentioned in Surah An'am, chapter number 6, verse number 19. In Surah An'am, chapter number 6, verse number 92. In Surah Yusuf, chapter number 12. It's mentioned in Surah Taha, chapter number 20, verse number 113. In Surah Namal, chapter number 27, verse number 6. It's mentioned in Surah Sajda, chapter number 32. Verse number 1 to 3, it's mentioned in Surah Yasin, chapter number 36, verse number 1 to 3. In Surah Al-Zumar, chapter number 39, verse number 1. In Surah Ghafir, number 2, it's verse number 77 and 80. It's mentioned several, number 2. It is mentioned in Surah Rahman, chapter number 55, verse number 2. It's mentioned in Surah Waqia, chapter number 56, verse number 77 and 80. It's mentioned in several places. It's mentioned in Surah Insan, chapter number 76, verse number 23. In several places, the Quran says, this is a revelation from God Almighty. If it is not, what is it? The scientific community, they have a different approach. If anyone has a new theory, they say, we don't have time to listen. And they have a reason for that. They say that if you have a new theory, don't bring it to me unless you have a way, unless you have a test to prove your theory wrong. Unless you don't have a way or a test to prove your theory wrong, I don't have time to waste with you. It's called as the falsification test. That's the reason that Albert Einstein, in the beginning of the century, when he gave a new theory, that I feel that the universe works like that. Along with that theory, he gave three falsification tests, saying that if you think my theory is wrong, do these three things and my theory will be proved wrong. When you get scientists, they examined it for 6 years and then said, yes, the theory of Albert Einstein is correct. That does not mean that he's a great person. It means he deserves a listening. Prill such falsification tests. When you get into a discussion in future with anyone regarding religion, you have to ask him that, do you have a way to prove your religion wrong? Believe me, I have not come across any person who has told me that I have a way to prove my religion wrong. The Quran has. The Quran has several falsification tests. Some of them were only meant for the past. Some of them are applicable for all times. Let me give you a few examples. The Prophet had an uncle by the name of Abu Lahab. He was the staunchest opponent of the Prophet. Whenever the Prophet spoke to any stranger, he used to follow the Prophet. The moment the Prophet departed, he used to go to the stranger and ask, what did the Prophet tell you? Did he say it is day? It's night. Did he say it's black? It's white. He spoke exactly of what the Prophet said. And there is a full chapter, Surah Lahab, chapter number 111 of the Quran, which was revealed. And it says that Abu Lahab and his wife, they will perish in hell. And it says indirectly that these people will never accept Islam. They will never become Muslims. This surah was revealed 10 years before the death of Abu Lahab. In that span of time, many of his friends who were also opponents of Islam embraced Islam, but Abu Lahab did not embrace Islam. Since he used to lie always against the Prophet, the only thing he had to do to prove the Quran wrong was to say, I'm a Muslim. He did not have to behave like a Muslim. He did not have to act like a Muslim. He only had to say, I'm a Muslim. And the Quran would have been proved wrong. It was so easy for him to prove the Quran wrong. Since he lied before, he just had to tell an additional lie. It is as though the Prophet is telling him, you think I'm your enemy? Come on, say this. Say I'm a Muslim and I'll be proved wrong. It was so easy, but he did not say it. This proves that no human being can make such a statement in his book. It has to be a divine revelation. Another such example is in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter number 2, verse number 94 and 95, which says that they say that the last home of Allah is with them alone. It is meant for them alone and no one else. And the Quran continues, tell them that if the last home for Allah is for them alone, tell them to seek for death. They will never seek for death because of the sins they have committed. This was revealed during a discussion, during a confrontation between the Jews and the Muslims. And the Jews said that the last home of Allah, that is the paradise, is for the Jews alone and not for anyone else. So verse was revealed saying that if you think that paradise is specially meant only for the Jews, you call for death. Seek for death. And the Quran says they will never seek for death. The only thing the Jews had to do at that time, any one of them, any one of those Jews, a single person would have come out and said, I seek for death. I want to die. Not that he had to die. Not that he had to act. Only thing he had to do was seek for death. Say, I want to die. And the Quran would have been proved wrong. It was so easy to prove the Quran wrong, but none of the Jews came forward and said that I seek for death. It's a falsification test. But now you may tell me that all these tests of the past, how can we prove the Quran wrong today if we want to prove it wrong? Quran has tests, falsification tests, which are also meant for all time, for that time and for today and till eternity. The Quran mentions that many people claimed and said that the Quran is forged. So Quran tells them. It's mentioned in Surah Isra, chapter number 17, verse number 88, that say, if all the humankind and jinns were to gather together to produce the like of the Quran, they will not be able to do it even if they help each other. It's a challenge that if all the humankind and jinns gathered to produce the like of the Quran, they will not be able to do it even if they help each other. The Quran is acclaimed as the best Arabic literature on the face of the earth by Muslims and non-Muslims alike. The Arabic language of the Quran, it is so clear, so meaningful, intelligible, unsurpassable, miraculous. It does not deviate away from truth, even though it rhymes, unlike other poetry and literature. It is the highest order of rhetoric towards the revelation. The same verse of the Quran can convince even a common man as well as an intelligent person. It is a miraculous book. The same challenge that produce a recital like the Quran is given in Surah Tur, chapter number 52, verse number 34. Later on, God Almighty, He made the test easy for the people in Surah Hud, chapter number 11, verse number 13, which says, do they say He has forged it? Tell them, produce 10 such surahs forged. And let them call for help, anyone besides Allah, if they speak the truth. And no one could produce 10 surahs exactly like the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further simplifies the test and says in Surah Yunus, chapter number 10, verse number 38, that do they say He has forged it? Say, produce one surah exactly forged like the Quran. One surah forged exactly like the Quran. And call to help anyone besides Allah if you speak the truth. And they could not do it. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives an easiest, the easiest falsification test in Surah Baqarah, chapter number 2. Verse number 23 and 24, which says, وَإِنْ كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِمَّا نَزَّلْنَا عَلَى عَبْدِنَا. And if you are in doubt as what we have revealed to our servant from time to time, فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِّن مِثْلِهِ. Then produce a surah somewhat similar to it. وَدْعُوا شُهَدَاءَكُمْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. And call forth your helpers and witnesses, if there are any besides Allah, إِنْ كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. If you speak the truth. فَإِنْ لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا. But if you cannot. وَلَنْ تَفْعَلُوا. And for sure you cannot. فَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ الَّتِي وَقُودُهَا النَّاسَ بِالْحِجَارَةِ. Then fear the fire whose fuel shall be men and stones. أُعِدَّتْ لِلْكَافِرِينَ. Which is prepared for those who reject faith. First, the Quran gave a challenge. Produce a recital like the Quran. Subhanahu wa ta'ala simplified and said, produce 10 surahs like the Quran. Then produce one surah. Here it says, produce one surah somewhat similar. Mim misli. The other places the Quran says, misli. Here it says, mim misli. Somewhat similar to the Quran. And the non-Muslim Arabs, they failed miserably. Not that they didn't try. Arabic was at its peak when the Quran was revealed. Several pagan Arabs, they tried, but they failed miserably. And some of their works is yet present in the historical books. And it makes them a laughing stock. The challenge was there 1400 years ago. It's even there today. Today, there are more than 14 million Coptic Christians. Christians who are Arab by birth. Arabic is the mother tongue. This test is even for them. Even if they want to try wrong, only thing they have to do is produce one surah somewhat similar. And if you analyze certain surahs, certain chapters of the Quran are hardly 3 verses, hardly containing a few words. But so far no one has been able to do it, and no one will be able to do it in future, inshallah.